Live from the Journeys Group Studio, this is Taking Care of Business.
Good day, this is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking Care of Business. Today is the week before Halloween.
Yeah, it's the last full week in October.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Halloween's next week.
Yep.
Which is funny because I'm not getting to a lot of diatribe today, but between the Republicans not being able to pick a Speaker of the House out and between our mighty Commander-in-Chief, it is certainly trick-or-treat in Washington, D.C.
Well, there's a lot of people wearing clown costumes. We have I would call it more of a circus than a Congress. But
I would too.
It's funny, we were talking about it the other day. You know, the debacle, which I don't think is quite strong enough of a word, but I can't use the words I want to use to talk about the speaker issue. The opposing party is just doesn't have to do a thing.
No,
I mean they are sitting back and just laughing, sitting on their hands, doing nothing because one party just can't come together on one issue. They can't stop having a you know what kind
Family
of contest, a you know what contest to see who's better.
All right, let's get to it. Got an interesting show today. That's going to be kind of an amalgamation,
mm-hmm.
which is a big word for you. That means a mixture of things.
I don't know. I looked it up while you were talking.
You didn't know what it started with. For those of you who haven't picked up on it, Mr. Pate over there is under the weather today, so he'll not be as usual. First of all, he'll be speaking several octaves deeper, and he's not his usual witty self.
Yeah, I kind of feel like
you feel like Jim Jordan.
I was going to say James Earl Jones, but I don't think I quite have the qualifications to be James Earl Jones. No, but I'm close. But yes, pardon me if I don't have quite the witty repartee that I usually have. Anyway,
my name is Tommy Pate. I'm a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group,
and I'm George Pate. I am also a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group. Can you imagine if I sounded like this all the time? How powerful that would be.
Yeah, you sound like Darth Vader with a cold.
Yeah, James Earl Jones. That's what I said. Yeah. Anyway.
I lost my place. We're an independent registered investment advisory firm in Hayden, North Carolina, just outside of Greenville. Our phone number is 252-304-1019.
Nailed it.
252-304-1019. Our address, our website is www.thejourneysgroup.com. Again, www.thejourneysgroup.com. Our website has a variety of financial articles that rotate through on it. It has our schedule and a way to get up with us if you'd like an appointment with us. It has upcoming events. I believe our next upcoming event would be the Christmas party.
Yep. December the 9th, I believe. Yeah.
And it has links to YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram.
Nailed it.
Ha. Let me see. Anything else on there I can think of? I think I've satisfied.
No, I think that's it. Yeah. I'm trying to think what our last video. We just filmed a video. I don't know that it's quite out yet. It should be out most any time. I'm trying to remember what it was about. It was a couple weeks ago we filmed it. Anyway, that'll be posted most any time. Go check that out. We got a bunch of videos up there. We're working on a lot of new stuff coming up for this following year. A lot of new ideas. One of the things we're actually toying with is taking this, the podcast, radio show, however you're listening to it, and filming it and posting that. So if you ever wanted to see what happens in the radio station while we're filming, that way we won't have to say, oh, I'm air quoting or I'm gesturing or whatever. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on while we're talking. So we're kind of toying with that idea.
some appropriate, some not.
Yeah, so. We may have to reel that in.
Today we were on vacation last week, and my wife, his mom, mm-hmm. Is just absolutely fascinated by the Amish community, the Amish culture. And so we went up to Pennsylvania last week and spent some time with an Amish family.
Yeah.
And I was just fascinated. Their lifestyle is so basic, and money is not even, I mean, they have to have money to pay their bills and that kind of thing. But money is not high on their list of priorities. The community takes care of itself. Excuse me. They were telling us about one of the people in the community had cancer and had like a $1.2 million hospital bill, and that the community was paying for it. They were chipping in and paying for it. Everybody was giving money, that kind of thing. And I was struck by, for those of you that don't know, the Amish community lives somewhat, that's what I'm looking for, basic maybe.
That's a good word, yeah.
They don't have electricity. They don't want electricity in their homes. They don't. They do have running water, but they don't have electricity, no TVs, no cars, none of that stuff. And the concept behind them is that, because we actually spent a fair amount of time talking to the father of this household, the concept behind them is that anything that is a distraction away from God, they try to distance themselves from.
Yeah, anything that would connect them physically to the world. So, I mean, they take that to be very literal. Whereas, they don't have electricity because a power line running into their house would physically connect them to the electrical grid with the rest of the world. And so, in their mind, being connected to the rest of the world could draw them away from the Lord and their faith. And so they go to extensive lengths to make sure that there's no sort of distractions.
Yeah. Well, and part of that is money. And obviously they have to make enough money to make a living and all that. But it struck me, and when we were talking with this gentleman, and it was fascinating. I wish we could have filmed it, but they don't allow
our
pictures.
Yeah. Wish we could have him here. That'd be cool.
Yeah, but it was fascinating because he would not say it draws us away from God. He would say it draws us away from, and he would touch his heart. But I realized, I told George, I realized we were coming back Friday, driving back. And when you have a 6-hour drive and the two women are sleeping, you can have to do a lot of chit chat. The biggest distraction I think all of us have in the world is money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or lack thereof, or too much of, or most of us lack thereof, but it's money. And if you're not handling your money well, then not only is it detracting you from the Lord because you're not even thinking about spiritual matters, but it also detracts you as being the best parent or best partner that you could be as well. And so many times, and we talk about this, we just beat into the ground. I think it needs to be beating again. So many times what keeps us from being content with our money or lack thereof is the fact that we mishandle it.
Yeah, or a lack of control, not a lack of control, but that the control is in the wrong hands. One of the things you'll probably hear him say all the time is that money is and something we tell our clients all the time, money is a tool, and you can use it or it can use you. And so mishandling can often be you're put in a situation where your money is controlling your life. Because of a mishandling of it, a lack of a budget, or whatever the case may be. And so when the control shifts from you in the driver's seat to your money is now controlling your life, that's where the stress and the worry about money comes from. You know, we have to remember that, again, money is a tool that we have been given by God to use for
His glory.
His glory, yeah. I mean, it's a gift from Him.
Diesel.
Not Visa, no,
not American Express,
not American Express, not Visa, not Amazon, and that's good. You know,
what?
I know. Believe it or not, Amazon. There are. I looked this up before the show. There are over 2,300 verses in the Bible about money. Amazon is not mentioned once in there. I looked.
What version are you reading? Bible, I mean,
The KJV.
So I was thinking, and if we talk to clients, they'll go, well, you know, our debt is our car and our home and perhaps college loans, you know, for the children. Mm-hmm. Across the country, 28% of all debt is credit cards. It's the leading debt. Car loans comes in a distant second at 12%. Medical loans, 7%. Home equity loans, 6%. College loans, they don't even mentioned in there. 35% of Americans report that they're in the most debt of their lives right now. Now, we're in a country that allows you to pretty much do what you want to do with your money within reason. And so if you're in that kind of wicked, vicious debt, it's your fault. If your primary concern when you get up in the morning is how you're going to make it through the day, or if you're at a job that you just absolutely hate, but you keep it because you have to have
the income or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you're serving money. And I'm guilty of this as much as anybody. Not having a job I hate because I like my job, but I mean, yeah, fretting about money too much and everything.
Yeah, you become a slave to money at that point, because if the only reason that you're getting up and you know, going to work and whatever is for money, then you become a slave to your money.
Those of you that are listening to us right now, couple questions to find out if you're a slave or not. First question would be, how much do you have in savings? And I don't mean your 401k and that kind of thing, but what do you have if you had to get cash today? How much could you lay your hands on? Now, old rule of thumb used to be 6 months of income. Nowadays, I think probably $12,000 to $15,000 is okay. But what do you have in savings right now? If you had to put a new air conditioner in your house, and you had to do four tires at the same time, and your Visa bill came due, could you pay these three things without borrowing money?
Oh yeah,
without using a credit card.
Yeah, without stressing over where the money's going to come from.
Because little fact here, y'all need to understand is that when you use a credit card, you're borrowing money.
Yeah, you're not getting ahead by using a credit card. You know, yes, it is an option, but it's not. All you're doing is delaying the inevitable at that point, because you're digging the hole deeper, and that's how people get in trouble.
So, you know, ask yourselves, first of all, you know, am I liquid enough to keep me out of trouble if everything goes wrong at one time? Because I can promise you in life, every now and then, everything goes wrong at one time. Now, during the most recent numbers that we're seeing is that the savings rate fell to 3.5% in July. We're at the lowest savings time than we've ever been. Now, prior to COVID, which is one of the higher saving rates, it was only 8.8%. I mean, only 8.8% of Americans, 8.8% of income were going into savings.
And the book or the rule of thumb says 10%, between 10 and 12% ought to be going into savings. So even when we weren't in a period of high inflation, high prices, whatever, we still weren't meeting the mark on average.
And here's the scary thing is that incomes are up, debt is up, inflation is up, savings is down, and guess what else is up? Spending. We're still spending money like we have it. So can I suggest to you that you're talking out of both sides of your mouth when you complain about Congress? Spending money that they don't have. So, all right, we've talked this before. There's kind of a three-step. It's almost like Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a three-step plan to getting your cash straightened out. Step one is tithe. Now, everybody that's listening to this show said, I can't tithe because I don't have enough money. If I can't save, how can I tithe? And if you're not tithing, and Bible says 10%, if you're not tithing, and if you don't go to church, give it to a charity.
Just give it to somebody.
If you're not tithing, then you are showing an absolute total lack of faith in Almighty God. When we write our check to the church, it scares the mud out of me sometimes, because sometimes we don't have enough money to, I mean, I'm as lousy a money manager. I do a great job with my clients. Horrible job with my personal accounts. But you have to write that check, and you have to step out in faith. If you can't trust God, who can you trust? Now, maybe you have to adjust your lifestyle to accommodate that tithe.
Oh, no. Surely not.
Maybe the country club doesn't get its dues, or
maybe you have to downgrade your football seats for a season, or whatever the case may be. There's always room to cut the fat, so to speak. But I think
if you're not tithing, that's your first mistake. Second mistake is, and I'm very guilty of this, overpaying debt and underpaying savings. Mm. If you've got an extra $1,000 this month, and do most of you, you can do one of three things with it. You can spend it, which I suspect most of you do. You can put it on a credit card, or you can put it in savings. Now, technically, if you don't have $10,000 or $15,000 in savings, you should put it in savings. Make the credit card payment, but put it in savings.
Put it all in savings, yeah.
I have a tendency to, when I have a surplus, is to overpay my debt to get, trying to knock my debt out. And then what happens is a month later, you don't have enough money to make the bills meet, so you move the debt back up.
Kind of a vicious cycle there.
Yeah. And that's how credit card companies make their money. So, first, tithe. Second, get your savings built up. Well, the bank doesn't pay anything. Well, that's true. The bank doesn't pay anything.
But you're not.
If you use a credit card, you're paying 18-19% interest.
Well, and keep in mind too that emergency savings is not designed to be an investment. I mean, my emergency savings pays me 1.1%. I mean, I am just knocking it out of the park. But I don't care because the money that I have in the bank for savings does not. I don't really care what if they were paying me 0%, I wouldn't care. I mean, I would care, but it wouldn't change what I do with my emergency savings, because the whole point of emergency savings is for an emergency. It's not designed to be an investment. And so regardless of what interest rate they're paying, you still need to have it, because if something goes wrong, that's what it's there for. It's not there so you can put money in the bank and it's going to just grow exponentially. It's there to cover a rainy day.
Yeah. When we design a financial plan for somebody, tithing is always the first thing. Savings is the second thing. Not debt reduction, not inflation. I mean, not in investments. Savings. Because without savings, the rest of it doesn't work. And we've said this time and time and time again, to myself as well as to others. The third thing is get out of debt. For those of you that are carrying a credit card balance, there's no excuse in that. None. Absolutely none. If you're carrying a credit card balance, at some point in time, you mishandled your money. Now, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's say the money mishandled happened when you were 22. Well, if it happened when you were 22 and you're 40 and you ain't out of debt yet, you're mishandling your money. Imagine you get up in the morning and you've got cash in the bank and no debt. How much better you'd feel about life? And this is what causes us to worship money. I don't mean you go to the altar of the savings and loan and get down on your hands and knees. But if your thoughts are consumed with money as opposed to consumed with God, then you're worshiping money.
It has become your idol at that point.
Yeah. And I know what you're saying. You're going, oh, it's so simple for you to say that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Guys, I've never seen a situation that we couldn't get somebody out of debt within 7 years, completely out of debt, including their house within 7 years. I've seen lots of situations where we proposed that and people weren't prepared to do it.
Yeah, that it is always, I'm not going to say always, it 9 times out of 10, it is possible and pretty simple to do. But at the end of the day, it's got to come down to you. I mean, you've got to have we had this conversation with a couple people before we went on vacation, and we put together this plan to save money and pay off debt. And the last thing we told them before they were all jazzed up about it. And the last thing we told them before they left was, look, this is a brilliant plan and it works, but it only works if you have the chutzpah and the discipline to follow it through. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's something like that only works if you had the discipline to follow it through. And in today's world and today's digital age and auto drafting and things like that, there's really no excuse to not be saving money and excuse me, and putting a plan like that in place, because you can set everything on automatic. You know, you don't have to worry about writing a check every month or whatever. You can set all this stuff up on automatic. So there's really no excuse to not do it anymore, because it's just so easy now.
Well, I think everybody that listens to us is are Christians. And the question you have to ask yourself is, and again, I'm as guilty, hands up in the air. It's a good thing we're not taping this. hands up in the air. So, but the question is, the first responsibility of a Christian, well, the first responsibility is to get as many people to heaven as you can. Second responsibility is to glorify God. If you're letting your spending habits keep you from glorifying God, that's on you. Nobody else but you. And I'm speaking to myself now. Pot calling the kettle black. when it's so easy to get this stuff under control. It, as you can probably tell, it was a really, I don't want to say turning point, but it was really interesting the way the Amish people were. And, yeah, they don't have TVs. They don't have VCRs. They don't have cell phones. They don't have ulcers. They don't have headaches. They don't. but in their mind, all of those things distance themselves from God. And your whole point of being on this earth is to glorify God. If you are an alcoholic and you knew it and you want to take steps to do it, to take care of it, you would address the problem. Most of us are money-holics or debt-holics, and we're kicking that ball down, kicking that can down the road. The people that we work with in retirement, the last decade, we're working very hard at getting them out of debt, and we're working very hard at getting them some cash put up. I would say the average age of the people we work with is late 40s, early 50s.
Thereabouts, yeah.
And there's what they say to us is, this is the first time in my life I felt like I had the time and money to be able to come and talk to you. So if you go to work at 20, you're going to work 40 years. Most people are working 30 years before they slow down and say, okay, I need to address this issue that I've got.
Yeah, before they kind of, it's almost like an ostrich burying its head in the sand, where you're just sort of, no, that's not a good analogy, because I don't think people are ignoring it, but I think
they're kicking it down the road.
Yeah, well, I think other things just come up, like, you know, you get married, you have kids, okay? Being a parent takes a lot of time. You're just trying to make it at that point. And then by the time kids are out, you know, and you pick your head up, whoa, you've only got 10 years left till you want to retire, and now you start thinking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you're kicking the can down the road, but it's because they're not intentionally, not negligently, but it's just because there's other things going on that it's just hard to think about it. But you need to think about it, because the earlier you think about it, the easier it is to make it happen.
Well, I think we need to be deliberate about moving money from the throne, mm-hmm. putting God back on the throne. And the only way to do that is to save, get rid of debt, and to be deliberate about that. And if you have to make some sacrifices, that's what you do.
Sure.
If you can't have football tickets, that's what you do. Doesn't mean it's forever. I mean, I'm a fat boy. I'm trying to lose weight. And I have to remind myself that if I don't get French fries, it doesn't mean I'm never going to have French fries again. And I have an extremely difficult time with that.
I would just stay fat if that was the case, honestly.
it's kind of like, it's the same thing with money. Okay, if I'm not going to do XYZ this year so I can pay this debt off, it doesn't mean I'm never going to do it again.
It comes down to two words. What words am I thinking about?
Instant gratification.
You read my mind.
Yep.
Yep.
If you have questions about this, if you'd like us to help you, give us a call at 252-304 had a block for 304-1019. 252-304-1019. Anything is possible with God, and that includes getting out of debt. But that doesn't mean that he's going to snap his fingers and that's what happens.
Yeah, there has to be some work on your end. There's got to be some intentional effort. You have to make it happen.
But I want you to think about this. Does your life revolve around your paycheck, or does it revolve around God and your family? And if it revolves around your paycheck, it's time to have some serious conversations with yourself, and perhaps with your partner too. That's not the way life's supposed to be. It's not the life you were supposed to have. And it certainly doesn't honor God. It honors Visa
or Amazon, as you say.
I find that terribly difficult to say.
Yeah, that's particularly painful. I know.
Anyway, yeah. I see our time's getting a little short, so let me wrap it up. I just wanted to share kind of our Amish adventure with you. I appreciate you letting us spend some time with you today. Look forward to visiting with you next week. Hope you have an awesome week. This is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking care of business.
The proceeding has been a paid program. The advice and opinions expressed by the Journeys Group and their guests are their own and may not reflect the opinions and advice of WTIB or Interbanks Media. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although should not be relied as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk, and unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Fixed annuities are insurance products. Fixed annuities, rates, returns, and guarantees are subject to the claim paying ability to the underlying insurance company. Please see a statement of understanding and prospectus for a full detail on products discussed. Strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation, and as such is not intended to be a direct recommendation. Before acting on any information mentioned, you should seek the advice from a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine whether it is suitable for your specific situation. Investment advising services are offered through the Journeys Group, an SEC registered investment advisor.